Blog Talk Radio.
It's what you want, baby. It's what you need, baby. We about to give you more.
That's been pent up inside for years. Exclusive type, only for your eyes and ears. You held it in for so long, you burst it into tears. The letters spill slowly across the page like a world premiere. We're lying, the bullshit begins here. The obvious cause, the effects is unclear. The punishment for crimes of the heart could be severe. Though to keep it on the low is a heavy cross to bear. You deep now, submerged with no signs of air. Still your sunken heart thumping like the kick in a snare. While on the surface, it's all turning to a circus. That's why you're nervous, and you gotta right to be, cause if somebody would have done that shit to me, I mean my best man hitting my wife to be, my sentiments exactly would be history, you know what I'm saying, hey, my people's in a place, let's count it off,
1, 2,
tell
me what y'all
to
do, 3, 4, it's time for all of your together, rock and roll in your rolling rock, sing your rhymes to the rhythm and just don't stop, 5, 6, get a precise mix, 7, 8, no time to hesitate, so let's rock and roll in your rolling rock.
Nothing changed, it's all the same thing. The same characters in the book with different names. It's a lot more to lose than you got to gain. You a lot more confused than hip to the game. To beat the script to the game, the price is pain. Men and women get into things, now who's to blame? When everybody whispering about whatever took place and how the fact was denied with a straight face. Them lies hard to swallow from the bitter taste, but that's the point in the past that can't be erased. So motivate, though it's hard to let it ride or set aside true feelings. Underhand dealing, a lost trust. I wonder if we lost us. It's bigger than me and you, it's monstrous. So I'ma just calm down and try to relax before I clap the hammer, then the hammer I clap. Count 1, 2,
tell
me what
y'all
to do.
3, 4,
it's time for all your suggestions. Rock and roll till you're rolling rock. Then you rock to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate. So let's rock and roll till you're rolling rock.
Back and undo our actions, change what happens, dissect the fractions, a time to rewind and be recorded absent, for real, cause these memories is photographic, pornographic, pushing me close to madness, head heavy like I'm tripping on acid tablets, yesterday as I recall was all fabulous, a thought so, but now I feel like shots hitting my torso, spent a lot of time and trust in the wrong place, fought a lot of fights, rolling with the wrong ace, love, stronger than pride, weaker than disgrace, I need room to think and space. But solid as a rock shall not disintegrate. Thoughts racing like they lunatics on the interstate. Rail, yeah. My people's in a place, tell me how to start.
1, 2, tell me what y'all to do. 3, 4, it's time for all yours. And yes, rock and roll, then you're rolling rock. Then you rock to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, it's time to move the beat. Yes, rock and roll, then you're rolling rock.
And thank you for tuning in to this edition of Conversations of a Sister here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm your host, Ms. Tracy L. Bell. And I thank you for tuning in, whether you are online or by phone. We thank you for tuning in to tonight's conversation. And tonight's conversation is the coronavirus reigns. Now who's to blame? The coronavirus reigns. Now, who's to blame? We're going to be having conversations around this topic for quite some time, as long as this pandemic is here with us in the land. Tonight's topic, coronavirus reigns. Now, who's to blame? Here we are, another month, and there is fear in the air as this global pandemic is our top news stories and highlights with updates throughout the day and as often as necessary. I mean, I am worn out when it comes to highlights and updates because I'm receiving it on every end. And although the virus's death toll could be lower than officials, initially warned, we are all still under state orders of quarantine with limited travel and limited access to move around. And we're all making the best of this adjusted situation because this is an adjustment. It's an adjustment for all of us. And although some of us are used to washing our hands and washing our bodies and keeping ourselves clean with regards to hygiene, we now must be extra careful as long as coronavirus reigns. We're all dealing with it because we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice in this matter. So because this is the hand we've been dealt with, we have to deal. And my lines are open tonight at 516-595-8098. Please press 1 for the host queue. We had someone in the studios last week that we overlooked, and I apologize for that. So my lines are open tonight, 516-595-8098. I'm asking that you please press 1 for the host queue. So while coronavirus reigns, let's talk about who's to blame. And some of you have said it doesn't even matter because it's here now. But like most things in America these days, the blame game is probably the highlight on everyone's mind, especially if you are being directly affected by this pandemic. I know for myself personally, I know two people at least who've passed away, longtime family friends, friends of the family. It's heartbreaking, it's saddening, but it's something that we have been dealt with. So when you look at it all, you wonder how. How did it happen? Who was thoughtless? Who was negligent? Who changed our way of life? Because our way of life is now adjusted, and this just may be the new norm. But the question is, did it have to be? Did it have to be the new norm? The debate has been rumbling on for weeks now. Our revelations that the CIA flagged China's numbers as untrustworthy back in early February have increased pressure on the White House to explain what the United States knew about this virus and when did they know. So we all know that since President Trump's presidency, his history since taking office is that he doesn't trust his own intelligence agencies. And I think that he doesn't trust some of his people, period, because when he sided with Russia on certain events surrounding the election, many were appalled, even comments that came after that. So, for all hindsight claims, it is that the impeachment distracted Trump from a more intensive virus response. So, because he was being impeached, I guess back in November or December, he was pretty much distracted. Therefore, he could not handle the response of this pandemic at the time. But it underscores that his lack of urgency wasn't based on the warnings coming from his top officials. He certainly wasn't listening to them because, as we all know, he tried to say in the beginning that it was a Democratic hoax. And if we follow the timeline, on March 29th, he said nothing could be worse than declaring victory before the victory is won. On March 28th, he said, we will win this war when we achieve this victory. We will emerge stronger and more united than ever. I don't believe you need 40,000 or 30,000 ventilators, he said on March 26th. You know, you go into major hospitals sometimes and they'll have 2 ventilators. And now all of a sudden they're saying, can we order 30,000 ventilators? He said this on March 26th, and of course, he was talking about the governor of New York. Then he said on March 24th, I'd love to have the country opened up, just raring to go by Easter. And that sent everyone into a frenzy because they were like, are you serious? You have people dying. You have this thing that hasn't even peaked, and already you're talking about opening up the country. On March 23rd, America will again and soon be open for business very soon, a lot sooner than 3 or 4 months that somebody was suggesting. We cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself. And this is what was said on March 23rd. On March 19th, the president stated, we took the best economy we've ever had, and we said, stop. You can't work. You have to stay home. Here's a case we're paying a lot of money to stop things because we don't want people to be together so that this virus doesn't continue onward. Well, my thing is, how did it get here in the beginning? Because it should have been stopped way before it even reached the United States. So, our studies tell us that as far back as late November, U.S. intelligence officials were warned that a contagion was sweeping through China's Wuhan region, changing the patterns of life and business and posing a threat to its populations. This report was the result of analysis of wire and computer intercepts coupled with satellite images. It raised concern about an out-of-control disease and what it would pose and how it would pose a serious threat to the United States and forces in Asia, forces that depend on the NCMI's work. And it painted a picture of an American government that could have ramped up mitigation and containment efforts far earlier to prepare for a crisis poised to hit home, which is the United States. So it was then briefed. It was briefed multiple times to the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Pentagon's Joint Staff, and the White House that concerns about what is now known to be the novel coronavirus pandemic were detailed in a November intelligence report by the military's National Center for Medical Intelligence. That is the NCMI. So why was nothing done to thwart the spread of this virus? Why? I mean, if they were having briefings as early as November, why was nothing done to thwart the spread? Why was there no response before the outbreak? Why? For those of you who may be just tuning in, tonight's topic of discussion, the coronavirus reigns, so who's to blame? And I think that anything before it gets better, a conversation needs to be had. The coronavirus reigns, so who's to blame? No, it's not going to bring back those who have died. No, it's not going to change what is happening now. Although how we react to it and how we fight it will change the outcome from this point forward. But when we ask the question of who's to blame, some people said the current administration. And one of my responders said, when a ship goes down, when we ask this question, he responded, when a ship goes down, the captain is always held responsible. And this is true, because look at the Navy ship with 150 Navy officers who contracted the coronavirus. The captain was sending out all kinds of SOSs for help, and he got none. He felt like his cries were going unheard. So what did he do? he reached out to the media, and he made it nationally known through the media. He lost his job, but in a statement before he left, he said, "The men on this ship are my top priority, and I did what I had to do to protect them." And I'm paraphrasing it, but the point is, he was the captain of that ship, and he was held responsible for whatever happened on that ship. So he felt like, well, no one is hearing me when I'm telling them that my men, 150 of them, have the coronavirus, and this thing is going to spread throughout the ship if we don't get help. No one was hearing him. So therefore, he sent out and sounded an alarm to the media. And he was ultimately fired. But when he left that ship, he was applauded for his efforts because they knew that he was a damn good captain. So when we ask the question, who's to blame? 61% of registered voters in a poll stated that President Trump was not prepared to handle the outbreak. Trump dismissed the virus as a flu-like illness that would miraculously pass. And he did this as the coronavirus began to spread across the United States. The president repeatedly insisted that it was nothing to worry about. Now here we are, 2 months later, 3 months later, and the United States became the first country in the world with more than 100 cases of this virus. The economy has grounded to a near halt, a near standstill, and the virus has killed more than 1,000 people in New York State alone. As cases increased, the stocks tumbled. The president's attitude toward the threat of COVID-19, the disease caused by the novel coronavirus, has evolved from a casual dismissal to reluctant acknowledgement of mobilization. So here it is. You have a country now almost to its knees, and it has now become, or I'm going to say it has now evolved from a casual dismissal to a reluctant acknowledgement. And he knows that blame is being pointed, fingers are being pointed, because this, like everything else, will define his presidency. And a big conversation or a big discussion came up between my partner and I, my friend and I, regarding the dismissal of the head of the pandemic office within the White House. All because on March 19, 2020, former Vice President and Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden called the changes of elimination. And he did so by tweeting, "The Obama-Biden administration set up the White House National Security Council for global health, security, and biodefense to prepare for future pandemics like COVID-19/the coronavirus. However, Donald Trump eliminated it. He went on to say, "And now we're paying the price." But what was more interesting is one of my Facebook followers posted an article that was written by someone who talked about President George W. Bush speaking back in, I think it was 2005, about it. In the summer of 2005, President George W. Bush was on vacation at his ranch in Texas when he began flipping through an advanced reading copy of a new book about the 1918 flu pandemic. He couldn't put it down. And when he returned to Washington, he called his top Homeland Security advisor into the Oval Office, and he gave her the galley of historian John M. Barry's The Great Influenza. I think that was the book. And it told the chilling tale of the mysterious plague that would kill more people than the outbreak of any other disease known to man in human history. And he told her, "You've got to read this." He said, "Look," he said, "this happens every 100 years, and we need a national strategy to respond to a pandemic." This is what President Bush said at the time. He said, "We need medical personnel and adequate supplies of equipment," Bush went on to say. He said, "In a pandemic, everything from syringes to hospital beds, respirators, masks, and protective equipment is going to be in short supply. So we need to prepare now." Bush told the gathered scientists, because he also gathered scientists in that office at the time, and he said, "If a pandemic strikes, our country must have a surge capacity in place that will allow us to bring a new vaccine online quickly and manufacture enough to immune every American against the pandemic strain. If we wait for a pandemic to appear, it will be too late to prepare." And that was said by President George W. Bush in 2005. So, with President Trump, after initially downplaying the potential severity of this pandemic and sharing false and misleading information, he has changed his position several times on key aspects of this crisis. So you wonder why people are in a panic. People are in a panic because they don't trust leadership. People are in a panic because they don't trust this administration. They think and they feel that if we're dealing with such a crisis now, God only knows what is to come next. And we are in uncharted waters, people. And these are unprecedented times. And when we think about how we got here, we have to think about those possibilities. And when you think about those possibilities, you have to ask yourself, so who's to blame? Because on top of all of that, fear is definitely here, and it is in the air. And that is because we are now being still, because our lives have been crippled by an economy that is used to boasting and having the hustle and the bustle of day-to-day activity. We are now facing a situation wherein we have to lean on each other. And if you have no other support system, I suggest now is the time that you get one. Reach out to old friends, those that you know who will lift you up, those that you know who will want the best for you, those who are going to be positive, those who are going to speak life at such a time as this, and not damnation and defeat. Because we have enough of that as we look at what might be grim. So we want to look for our support systems that is going to uplift us in a time such as this, because after all, we need somebody who we can count on, whether that be our religious faith or whoever you believe in. Now is the time to call on and to pull from that belief, because it's a stressful time, and it is a time that we're all dealing with. We are all in this together, yes, but we are all handling it differently. This is why we decided and we knew that we had to bring Conversations of a Sister back, because there are conversations at this time in society that needs to be had. And we are going to have the conversation. Remember to like and follow us on Facebook at Conversations of a Sister, or join the conversations that is always happening on my blog at conversationsofasister.com. We thank you all for the emails, for all your well wishes, for all the check-ins, for all the I need yous, I love yous, and Tracy, we're praying for you. It is so sweet to know that I have some people that I can always count on. Until next week, peace, be well, and be safe.